Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
You're all very welcome back. Well, just a lot of you have been getting in touch about that earlier interview we had with the author Joe Dunthorne, wanting to know what is the name of the book and who is it published by. Happy to share it. It is, of course, Children of Radium, A Buried Inheritance, and it's published by Hamish Hamilton, and I couldn't recommend it enough. I really enjoyed it. Now to the watch list, our weekly guide for what to check out and what to avoid on the big and small screen. Joining us today to give their recommendations are writer Henrietta McCurvey and RTE movie guide editor Michael Doherty. You're both very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Henrietta, I'm going to start with you. Big screen, Ben Affleck is back with The Accountant 2. Was The Accountant number one not enough?
I know. I think this is the action thriller sequel nobody was asking for, but it's unexpectedly enjoyable because it's complete nonsense with a few funny exchanges in the mix. And sometimes that's exactly what you want to watch. So Christian Wolf, Ben Affleck, he is a neurodiverse mob-trained number cruncher who is handy with his fists. And the plot, such as it is, Treasury agent Mary Beth Medina, who is played by Cynthia Adai Robinson, she asks his help to solve the murder of her former boss, who was gunned down in the film's opening sequence. Wait, what? As she says herself when she's on the phone to him, because that's what the audience is saying. Why are you asking this on-the-run convict for your help when you work for the government? But he rocks up, and within minutes, I mean, okay, half an hour, it's quite a long film, she finds herself with a kidnapped human trafficker in the boot of her car. And we're off.
It sounds nonsense, and yet you quite like it.
I did. You know, I think a lot of it is to do with... So Christian's estranged brother, Braxton, who's played by John Bernthal, like, they're... chemistry is really good, and there's some exchanges between them which are just two brothers having each other out and being really silly that are actually very enjoyable. I think maybe code switching was Ben Affleck's talent all the time. I mean, the role seems to suit him. He plays him as a man with no emotional register. Like, there's no subtlety to this neurodiversity. I think maybe watching Rain Man was his only source of material for it. But it's enjoyably entertaining. Like, if you start making the plot try and add up to more than it is, you get nothing.
Michael, I'm not a horror fan, but the premise for, is it Fréamhacha? It's an Irish language horror movie. Obviously, Irish mythology is very ripe ground for folk horrors, but the premise is quite interesting.
It's very interesting, actually, because we've had, like I said, Irish language. We've had a tremendous Irish language dramas recently, like Colleen Kuhn. We've had Irish language comedies, Roisin Agus Franc. We've had Kneecap, which is just a tremendous everything. And now we have an Irish language folk horror. And what's really smart about it is that, like you say, it blends with Irish mythology, but it's the story of Claire
Marley.
And
it has a peg. It has a peg.
It has a peg. And that's definitely not a coincidence, because it harks back to mythology, history, social history, the church, the persecution of women and traditionally in Ireland, all sorts of things wrapped up in this sort of folk horror story. Claire Monley plays, she's a social care worker whose mother has passed away and she's still suffering the trauma, but she is assigned this sent off to a spooky house where Peg, played by the great Breedon Yockton, is there, and the locals people feel she's a bit strange and a bit odd and she has strange ideas. But, you know, she finds Claire, who had the social worker, finds out that she actually is, you know, she's haunted by the other side, spirits on the far side.
But the locals have discounted her as having dementia.
Completely,
and,
yes.
But there is this...
There's something going on.
It sounds absolutely fascinating.
I mean, the thing is, if Aisling Clark wrote and directed, and like her previous work, it's about the thin veil between our world and the spirit world. And there's so much going on. It's a beautiful soundscape by Dave Exon. And any movie that opens up with Dark Doom by Horselips is all right by me.
It's getting a thumbs up. Henrietta, Bullet Train Explosion is a new movie on Netflix. And the plot of this sounds very, very familiar.
Yes, it will be, because it is a reboot of the 1975 classic Bullet Train, which in turn inspired Speed, the 1994 blockbuster with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. It's also no coincidence that it's released as Netflix celebrates its 10th anniversary in the Japanese market, because they love Bullet Trains in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, they're in their DNA the way GAA is to us. They absolutely adore them. So the plot of this is that the Tokyo-bound Bullet Train will explode if it slows below 100 kilometres per hour. So authorities in and the staff obviously have a race against time to save everyone on board in the couple of hours of the journey. So this terrorist, they want 100 billion yen, which is the equivalent of 1,000 yen per person in Japan. And it's actually really, really interesting when it digs into the passengers. So there's somebody who is responsible for an accident which killed 8 people. There's a load of school children and their teacher. There's a corrupt politician and the author of a book called Unemployed Rich Man, who sets up a crowdfunder on the train, suggesting that everyone should treat it as live content and donate to pay the ransom. It's actually really interesting in lots of ways. And there is a twist in the tale that I did not see coming at all.
It's over 2 hours long. Is it worth it?
Do you know, I think with the ending, it absolutely is.
Yes,
some of the CGI is quite ropey because obviously they couldn't explode an actual bullet train for it.
But they did use it.
They did. Yeah, they used a train which made 7 journeys back and forwards for filming. They built replica cars. They built a model version of the train. Yeah, it's really worth a watch. Okay,
well, we won't give away the plot twist. Michael, the friend, this is Naomi Watts, Bill Murray, and a huge Great Dane. A comedy, but is it a straightforward one?
It's not straightforward, but it's a very moving tale. It's based on the best-selling novel by Ingrid Nunez. So Naomi Watts, as you mentioned, she's an English lecturer, and her mentor, played by Bill Murray, he dies. So Naomi rocks up to the funeral, and there's lots of ex-wives and ex-girlfriends, and they're getting, you know, they've been bequeathed loads of things, and property and money and books. And what Naomi finds herself the recipient of is the aforementioned Great Dane. And she lives in a swanky New York apartment where they don't even like cats, and this giant behemoth, you know, bowler rocks up. So it's all about her trying to deal with that. And the serious bit comes in because they're both going through trauma. She misses her mentors, but so does the dog. Yeah. And they help each other heal, all that sort of stuff. But it's quite funny. It's a very Woody Allen type movie. It's set in that sort of Upper West Side, New York. Beautiful people, smart people going to soirees and listening to jazz music. Yeah. And you know, it's a very fine movie. And particularly, I think, even though I like both Naomi Watts and Bill Murray, I mean, this Great Dane, Apollo was his real name is Bing. I mean, he is the Marlon Brando of dogs. He's an incredible actor. I mean, the dog is actually acting. I mean, there is such a thing as a Pam dog at Cannes, and if the movie goes to Cannes,
he's going to get it.
This Great Dane is the Pam dog.
Yeah. Is going to get it. Henrietta, moving over to TV now, The Diamond House. It's a documentary on Netflix, and it tells the story of would-be Millennium Diner robbery, but it's produced by Guy Ritchie. Are we into gangster,
and
lovely, lots
that,
of geezers?
That's exactly what I was afraid of when I switched it on first, because he has this whole, like, aren't gangsters great shtick, which I find really irritating. But it's actually way more thoughtful and interesting than that. In 2000, a De Beers diamond worth 200 million was on display at the Millennium Dome, which was basically a big tent. Not a great idea when you think about it, as the head of De Beers security said at the time. And this group of criminals came together, deciding they would smash through the tent, enter the vault, throw smoke grenades to obscure the cameras, and be out and on a speedboat in the Thames within minutes. So the 3 episodes of this, one is robbers, one is cops, and one is cops and robbers.
So does Guy Ritchie bring a cinematic feel to what is a documentary? How does that play out?
Yes, it has all of his usual, like, things, like the quick cuts, the montages, the propulsive editing, the freeze frames with the names and the captions. It is actually quite stylishly made. Now, it is overdone in that if somebody talks about somebody being like a shark, we then see some footage of a shark. Like, we're good. We can imagine that bit for ourselves. We don't need it all. But the second episode, particularly the cops one, rewinds the original narrative and flips it. So they didn't know the police were onto them. So there's a whole really interesting, well, from inside the police perspective, what do we see? And then in the third one, we see what happens when the heist starts.
Yeah, I had a sort of slight bias in my mind against it, but you've convinced me.
It's worth a look.
It's worth. Michael, we've had The Bear, and now we have Carême, which is the story of a 19th century celebrity chef. Is it as high octane?
It's not, though, because it's more Gaelic paced. It's more of a Gaelic stroke to it. But it's a really good story. It's a true story. It's this guy.
It's on Prime Video.
It's on Apple TV.
Apple TV.
This guy was Antoine Carême. He was a real chef. He was the most famous chef in the world at the time. And so, but while he was doing all these pastries and wowing all society, the French government, who were, you know, knee deep in corruption and also terrified of what was going on in the rest of Europe, thought, well, actually, we can use this guy because he's been invited. He's the one French guy that everyone in Europe loves because they love his pastries. So they sort of turn him into, and this is true, they turned him into a spy and said, right, you go to the court, and while you're preparing your fancies, keep an eye out on who's doing what and what ambassador, and have a chat with the, you know, with the war minister and find out what's going on.
Spy, staying with France, Henrietta Etoile, it's a new dance comedy, but it's from Gilmore Girls creator Amy Sherman-Palladino.
Yes.
Is this like fame?
All episodes on Prime at the moment. It's not really a comedy is part of the problem. It thinks it's a comedy. It also thinks it's a drama. It thinks it's lots of things and doesn't really quite land most of them. But I think the central story, the central love story certainly is between dancers and ballet. Actually, Amy Sherman-Palladino trained as a dancer before she ever started writing for Roseanne. Yeah. And the ballet in this is absolutely beautiful. I mean, these people have the strength of cart horses and they just look so elegant. And so I think that is, it's worth watching for that.
Yeah.
The plot, which is about the Metropolitan Ballet of New York and the French National Ballet swapping stars in order to get publicity for both, is a bit daft. And Simon Callow is there as this big financier and he's just chewing the scenery. But what he leaves behind is absolutely beautiful and worth watching.
What about, Michael, Penelope on Sky Now? It's a coming of age story, but with a sort of an environmental kick to it.
Yeah, it's one of those stories. It's a story of a 16-year-old girl and she has her usual mates and all her friends are doing selfies and TikToks and all this and she's out at a rave and it just gets like an epiphany one day. She's at a forest rave and she looks out and she sees a wolf in the forest and she realises there's more to life than selfies. So she goes off and to find herself. She leaves her family behind, buys some camping gear and heads off to the New Forest. I was just checking to see because I had Mark Duplass, who's a good writer, he has two teenage daughters. So I just said to myself, this is just pure wish fulfillment on his part that his daughters will put down the phones and start hugging some trees. So that's basically what it is. It's sort of a hopeful look at where teenagers might go in the future, but I doubt it.
Yeah, a quick one just from you, Henrietta. I know you wanted to give a shout out to Nationwide is doing Dublin Port.
Yes, three episodes starting tomorrow evening, also Wednesday, Friday. I mean, considering Dublin Port is where the vast majority of the things we use, the clothes, the cars, everything come through, this is less of behind the scenes and more of this is your life. It's really interesting and there is a sniffer dog in it that I think would rival Bing from down, The Friend.
Down for the palm dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get that. Well, listen, we'll keep an eye out for that. But for now, Henrietta McCurvey and Michael Doherty, thank you so much. And that's all we have time for. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.